everyone. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jan Ballabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jan Ballabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jan Ballabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jan Ballabha. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava. Gopi Jan Ballabha Girivar Dhari. 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 Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Bolo, bolo. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, O Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, bolo. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे श्री राधे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Didn't that feel like being in 24-hour Kirtan in Vrindavan? Yeah. All glories to Shyamananda Prabhu and his amazing crew. Actually, this whole week has felt like being in Vrindavan, right? Remember all the beautiful decorations that were up here? We saw Haridev Temple, and we saw Banki Bihari, and we saw Barsana Temple. And the whole week has been felt being in the mood and the vibe of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So I want to thank all the volunteers, Krishna Kishore Prabhu and Palika Devi and all the incredible crew and Premananda Gaur Prabhu and the leadership and management of New Raman Riddhi Temple for organizing such an incredible festival that lasted a full week. And that's not even it. And we have Janmashtami coming up again. So I feel fortunate and blessed to be in presence of such luminaries and exalted devotees in the assembly. I've said it before. Speaking here, especially in Alachua and New Raman Riddhi, is a nerve-wracking experience just because of the firepower that's present in the room. There are devotees here who have had practiced Krishna consciousness more than my age, actually, for many years. So I humbly bow down at your lotus feet. To give me your blessings and to inspire me that I can offer some service to Srila Prabhupada. All amazing things that I speak are from Prabhupada and from the Acharyas. Any mistakes I make are my own. And may this be an opportunity for my own self-purification. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So the topic, what's the topic? Does anyone remember what topic did I say or Mother Mukhya said? Will God come to rescue me, right? Will God come to rescue me? In all honesty, I can say the answer is yes, and we can just go into Kirtan. That's it. That's the class, because Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita, right? That, yeah, I will come and protect you. Kaunteya pratijani name bhakta pranashyati. And that I will come and take shelter of you. So if I had that strong of a faith right now, then we don't need this class. We do Kirtan, we put our full faith and shelter in the holy name, and that's about it. But I don't have that faith. I don't have that faith. And if I fake that faith, if I try to say that I do have that faith, and I do some sort of spiritual bypassing, then I am committing an offense to Krishna, an offense to the parampara, and to my own growth. I am bypassing my own growth. So that's why to be able to get to the point of Sarva Dharman Parityajya, which is one of the last instruction Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has to go through the whole gamut of emotions and experiences, and that forms the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Otherwise, Krishna could have said that, yes, surrender unto me, let's fight the battle. And we wouldn't have the Bhagavad Gita. So it kind of elicits the point that a jiva has to go through the tribulations and trials of life, the spectrum, the journey, to be able to come to the point of surrender. So that's the whole arc. It's the arc of the Bhagavad Gita, but also referencing that. The title of the talk also had a second part to it, finding hope in our darkest hour. So will God come to rescue me, and finding hope in our darkest hour. So ever had any experience where you felt that, Krishna, please get me out of this. Once I'm out of this, life will be good. Show of hands. Yeah, God, please get me out of it. Maybe when you were a child, when you were a kid, 8 years old, 9 years old, and there's an exam, just help me get out of this. I promise I'll surrender unto you. And then years later, it's the same thing that, oh, I'm going through this health crisis, or I'm going through monetary challenges, or I'm going through something else. That, Krishna, please, are you there? Will you help me? So it's a question we have all asked at multiple points in our life, right? It's the question that a number of personalities in our Shastra, in our texts, they also ask at multiple points in time. So we're going to look at some of these personalities who have asked this question and see how it can reflect our own journey, our own experience. And also a follow-up to that question is that when you ask that question, did God get you out of it? Any show of hands? He did. So we have some evidence, some data points also, that in the past, when I've had a troubling time, Krishna has gotten me out of it. But I still keep asking this question. The challenges increase and I still wonder. So I borrowed this phrase, darkest hour, from a wartime prime minister. There's a famous prime minister in the world who used this phrase. Does anyone know who famously gave this speech? Winston Churchill. Who said that? Mother Vegavati, yes, exactly. It was Winston Churchill, right? This was 1940. The Nazi Germany was consuming, invading parts of Europe. And France fell down, a great power that thought that would be held. It collapsed in 6 weeks. And the British army escaped the war at Dunkirk, right? It's a famous battle of Dunkirk. An amazing movie was made a few years ago on this. So Britain at this point stands completely alone. There's no other, America has not entered the war, Russia has not entered the war, and the bombing on London is about to begin, right? At that point, Winston Churchill, he's the prime minister, he speaks to the public, to his country, to his fellow men, and he says that this is our darkest hour, right? We are going through our darkest hour with no rescue in sight. And obviously the world war follows. But I was reflecting on that idea that the prime minister of a superpower at that point in time, you know, it said that the sun never set in the English Empire. So it's the superpower of that time. You have a strong prime minister being vulnerable in front of his countrymen and saying that this is our darkest hour. I'm struggling. We are struggling. We have no hope in sight. Yeah, he didn't pretend that it was fine. He didn't pretend that it's all good, we got this. No, he didn't pretend. He told the truth that this is dark. And what I took from it was that naming that darkness itself is the first act of hope. Naming the darkness is the first act of hope. We'll see our own hero of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, does do that. Did Arjuna name his darkness? In the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he did. Arjuna names his darkness before. Some people say that I just skip over the first chapter of the Gita because too many names, too many things going on. To me, it's the most important chapter of the Bhagavad Gita because it shows the darkness of Arjuna. So Arjuna goes through his own darkness and he talks about it, that I don't know, there's no end in sight. There's no hope here. Am I going to kill my teacher? Dronacharya, the person who taught me archery, you're telling me to use the same bow and arrow to kill him who taught me? Imagine if you come at the temple and if someone teaches you how to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and you're told to cut that person's hand. How can I do that? If you're told that, oh, go kill your guru today, that's part of your seva. So Arjuna is going through his own dark crisis. And he spells it out aloud to Krishna. So before we jump to the conclusion of a lot of inner movement, there's a habit. It's not just our movement, it's also in other traditions, even Christianity, that when things get tough, oh, just chant your rounds, it will be okay. Just go to God. No, there is a process for that, and an important role of sitting with our darkness, experiencing our darkness, communicating our darkness to our gurus, to our seniors, to our friends, guhya makyadi brichati. And then the path of transformation begins. It cannot come. That's why Krishna doesn't say sarva dharman parityajya in the first chapter of the Gita. He speaks it in the 18th chapter of the Gita. He wants Arjuna to go through his emotional experience through their conversation and dialogue. He wants to answer every single query that Arjuna has before he gives the final dialogue. So how can we bypass that process and just come to a point? Remove ourselves from that process of transformation. Why do we want to short-circuit the process of transformation when that's the process that's given in our Shastra? Draupadi goes through it, Gajendra goes through it, Prahlad goes through it, Ajamila goes through it, Parikshit. All of these examples in our Shastra are the people who sit with their darkness, communicate their darkness, and then go through transformation. So that's our process. Now, the other phrase that I want to touch upon is a phrase called Dark Night of the Soul. Has anyone heard of the phrase Dark Night of the Soul? Does anyone know where does it come from? There's a saint back in the 1500s in Spain. His name was Saint John of the Cross. So Saint John of the Cross was a Carmelite monk in 1500 Spain. And him and another amazing saint, Teresa of Avila, right? Not Mother Teresa, but Teresa of Avila. She has beautiful poetry and writings. They were reforming their order. At that point in their order, in their tradition, it became a lot about establishing elaborate places and how many, establishing our ministry and expansion of our ministry, as opposed to the idea of going to God with simplicity, poverty, and prayer. So they wanted to bring their tradition back to the actual heart of practice. That can I bring my tradition back to simplicity and poverty? The unreformed friars, some of the other people who were in the church at that time, did not like that. They did not like that. They said that we need to focus on this expansion piece. Don't talk about this inner reformation that needs to happen. So what did they do? They thought that this was an act of rebellion, and they kidnapped him and put him in a prison. It was a closet which was just 6 foot by 10, even small slit high enough for just some light to come in. And he was put there in 9 months, and he was beaten regularly in front of his community. We also have an example in our tradition. So in that tradition, they would call these other monks as brothers, that these were brothers. So his own brothers put him inside a prison. Do we have a similar example in our tradition where someone else's brother put them in the prison? Cue to Janmashtami? Yeah, Devaki. Devaki, right? Devaki was put in a prison by her own brother. And I'm going to get to the point of preparing our consciousness for Janmashtami, which is about to come. So going back to Saint John of the Cross, he was imprisoned by his brothers because he wanted to bring forth the idea that let's go back to the inner reformation of speaking to God and asking for grace and making it a personal practice and not just a collective practice that can expand. So when he was in this jail, he composed some of the most beautiful poetry that is available. And in that poetry, one of the phrases that he coins is the dark night of the soul. So he says that when we first turn to God, God gives us sweetness and grace and warmth, and we feel held by God that I have a respite, I have someone. And then he says that when the prayer deepens, there comes a time in our prayer where God withdraws that sweetness. God is fully present, but he withdraws that sweetness. Our prayer becomes dry. the old comfort of being in presence of God stops working. It feels like God has left the space. God has left the room. Very similar parallels to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of separation. And St. John says that this act of God separating at that point is not a punishment. He says it is purification. He says that God is teaching us to love God, not for the gifts he gives, not for the comforts he brings in our lives, not for the sweetness that he presents to us, not for the results that he's going to change our circumstances. He brings that separation so that we can love him for who he is, for who God is. And he said that that experience is the dark night of the soul. The experience of the comforts that God has given to us are going away. And that void we feel that, well, if Krishna is not about helping me make more money and making my life easier, then what is Krishna all about? Why should I surrender? We surrender because Krishna is Krishna. That's God. And so that's the point that I want to focus on and emphasize and draw parallels in our own tradition when that happens for others. Yeah. There's a famous book called Yoga and the Dark Night of the Soul by one amazing devotee who has talked about it. So feel free to check it out. So what are some examples of the darkest hour that we go through in our own life? Please blurt it out, some examples, some events in our life that seem like dark hours or darkest hours. Huh? What was that? Alexander. Care to explain more? Well, I was thinking of that events in our own life. For instance, I got laid off from my job last year, which I considered as my core identity. That I am a techie, I develop good technological products, and this is who I am, then this is what I'm going to do for 30 years of my life. And boom, I got laid off. I received an email that you don't work here anymore. And I was like, whoa, what is my identity? What is my purpose? What else is an example of a darkest hour where it can feel our identity is crushed? Health challenges. Health challenges, yeah. A diagnosis that comes into picture and suddenly, what does it mean for me? A divorce. A death of someone we love. We couldn't imagine our life without. A relationship falling apart. Being pushed out of something that you have built and created. I built this community. I did so much hard work. Nope. You're out. A child in trouble? A betrayal by someone you trusted? What if it was someone spiritual that we considered that, this is my authority, and a betrayal happens? So all of us have experiences of these dark hours in our own lives. Have we? Do we have had some experiences, some shape or form of these in our own life? Yeah. And what's remarkable is that the story of Janmashtami, which is upcoming and which is what I want to switch the gears to, has all of it. It has a betrayal by a family member. Yeah. A prison. Somebody being imprisoned. Children being lost. Children being killed. An identity being taken away. Years of waiting. Yeah. Our Shastra has a lot more examples of darkness and being in that point of darkness than we do. So before we look into the story of Janmashtami as a prelude and what it means and does God come to protect me and save me, there's an analogy that I want to utilize here. I was thinking, this is a teacher of mine that presented this to me a few years ago when I was going through a similar crisis in my own life. And my teacher was telling me that, think of a pen, right? All of us have had pens, not so much these days. We type and we scroll and our thumbs are all messed up. But we all have used pens in the past, right? A pen with a cap, right? Be with me that we have a pen with a cap on it. Right, the pen and the cap, they both are serving a purpose. The cap is serving the pen, right? It protects the ink, it has an identity. It's not just a piece of plastic. It has a purpose, it has a place, it belongs on the pen. It clicks, it fits, it belongs, it has a future, it has its utility. And it doesn't worry about where it's going and what's going to happen. I belong on the pen. Now let's say, through some events, through some circumstance, the pen falls off and the cap is away from the pen. And the cap is lost somewhere. And with someone without noticing kicks it in the hallway, it's in the corner collecting dust. It ends up in a drawer. You know that drawer with dead batteries and keys and all kinds of things that we don't touch. We just look at it. And sometimes it ends up on the street. Somebody steps on it. It rains. There's nothing wrong with the cap. It's still the same cap. But what's the problem with that cap? What's the problem with that cap? It's not at the place where it belongs. It's not at the place where it belongs, and it is abandoned. It is running into all kinds of troubles and challenges. And then someone comes up and sees that, oh, you don't belong here. You belong on the pen. And someone takes up and puts it back on the pen, and the purpose of the cap is fulfilled. Is everyone with me so far? Yeah. Think of ourselves as those caps that belong to the pen that is writing the will of destiny. That we are all these little caps that are being thrown away in the world, abandoned. And a guru who appears in our lives and who says that, oh, you dear cap, you don't belong here. Let me put you back to the rightful situation. And this process between when the cap is on the floor versus when it goes back on the pen is the process of the dark night of the soul. The pen, the cap lying abandoned is the dark night of the cap. And the process of the teacher, the guru, the person who knows that these things fit. Such personalities are sent by the representatives of the pen to us in our lives. They write, they teach, they speak to us. They appear in our lives. They come to the Western world. They go through heart attacks. They spend their time writing to tell every single cap, you don't belong here on the side of the streets. You belong with the pen, which the pen that is writing the best poetry that can be written, the pen that is giving all the knowledge. And this process, this darkness, this disconnection is the darkness. Shastra has a word for it, avidya. Prabhupada talks about it. The cap forgetting where I belong. And this is the dark night of the soul, of forgetting who I am, forgetting what am I here for. And I lead my life from an identity which is not the identity of where I belong. Any other identity I use to serve my life will result in this darkness. Everyone's with me so far? Okay, wonderful. Okay, so now that we have Janmashtami coming, I'm going to talk a little bit about just preparing our mood and consciousness, excuse me, for Janmashtami with the lens of this dark night of the soul. So imagine, let me take all of you on a journey. Let's imagine I have a big time machine and I'm going to turn it, crank it, and imagine that we are in Mathura 3,000 years ago, right? All you see around are palaces, right? There are white palaces across. There's the beautiful Yamuna River that is flowing in the background, right? There's flags and festoons and smell of incense and cooking from 1,000 kitchens, you know? It's a royal wedding day in the city of Mathura. Everyone's with me? We all have the invitation. We are at the royal city of Mathura, where this amazing wedding takes place. Sometimes there are weddings happening in Alachua, in the premises of the temple, and we can hear it and we can feel the joyousness in the mood. The cooking is happening, and then it's kirtan, the groom comes with the kirtan, right? So it's a joyous occasion. It's an occasion of great joy. Whose wedding is it? Devaki, right? She's marrying Vasudeva of the Vrishnis. So Devaki, her father Devaka, he's organizing this ceremony, right? And then they're both Vrishnis. They both belong to the Yadu dynasty. And 400 elephants suddenly are given with golden garlands. Think of it. 400 elephants are suddenly given as gifts. 15,000 horses are around here. 1,800 chariots are present. Hundreds of beautifully dressed maidservants and people, conches, kettle drums, everything is happening. Kamsa, the brother, the cousin of Devaki, he takes the reins of the wedding chariot himself. And he says, I am going to take these newlyweds home. I'm going to take this. He has pride in what they have created. He has pride in his sister. Now think of Devaki. This is the happiest day in her life, right? She's getting married. Her brother loves her. Her husband is a noble man, the great Vasudev. The whole city is singing. Everything is auspicious about it. It's happening in a sacred place. And then what happens? As the chariot is going with all the procession, what happens? What happens? There's a voice from the sky. There's a voice from the sky. You fool! The eighth child of this woman you're carrying will kill you. Right? And when the voice comes, there are two reactions, two separate reactions that happen. There's Vasudev, who hears the voice and who considers it that, what does that mean? He shows the side of being a saintly person that, what does this voice mean? What does it imply? And then there is Kamsa. And what's his reaction? What's his immediate reaction? He gets up, grabs Devaki, his sister, by her hair, draws out his sword from the other hand, and is about to chop her head off on the wedding day itself. So think of it, all that procession, the graphicness of this situation. That her happiest day becomes suddenly the darkest hour that could be possible for Devaki. And we see that the demoniac nature that Prabhupada writes about of Kamsa. It is said that the space between reaction and response, the space between a stimuli and a reaction, is the space where we can make a choice, where we can implement a free will. Viktor Frankl said that man's search for meaning, another person who went through the dark night of the soul. So Vasudev is thinking and experiencing this. Kamsa reacts right away. That's the nature of a demoniac person. I hear that something is harmful for me, I'm going to cut it down. I'm going to rage right now, as opposed to sitting with it. But let's be with Devaki, that the happiest day, the best day of her life has suddenly become a dark day for her. Think of ourselves, a happy day we are going by and suddenly the message rings, it's a doctor, like your reports came out, you only have 1 year left. And we feel the jolt of life. Like I felt that your job is gone. I had a happy day, I was thinking that, oh, this is such a nice day, I was on a vacation, I was traveling to India, and I got an email. I was like, what's this email? Your job is gone, your identity is gone. What do I do now? My whole identity is built on this. So when that happens, Vasudev bargains with Kamsa, and he says that, look, hold on a second. She is not going to kill you. It's the eighth child, right? It's the eighth child that's going to kill. So why are you hurting her right now? Right? Why are you insulting her? You're a noble man, Kamsa. You are the great king. You organized this wedding. You were taking care of her. You were taking care of us. And this crisis has made an animal out of you instantly. So Vasudev counsels Kamsa and says that, okay, you know what? In order to protect her, I will bring you every child that she bears. Every single child that Devaki bears, I'm going to bring it to you. And he stood by his words. Vasudev, Prabhupada writes in the purport, his theme was that he chose truthfulness as his only shelter, that, yeah, whatever needs to happen by destiny will happen, but let me at least do this. And then they have the kids. So Kamsa imprisons Vasudev and Devaki and asks that anytime you have a child, bring it to me. And Vasudev does it. Pregnancy after pregnancy and pregnancy after pregnancy. And think of it, 6 years go by like that. Every year they are imprisoned. It was not just one night. We read that all these six children were born and then Lord Balaram came and Krishna came. No. Think of the darkness that Devaki and Vasudev went through. God is about to take birth. The demigods are praying. We see that Lord Brahma is praying. And Devaki and Vasudev are still going through their tribulation. Do you think they were just happily chanting? I was like, oh, God is going to come. No, they're going through tribulation and suffering. And Devaki is witnessing one child comes out and is being taken away from her. The child cries, being taken away, murdered by Kamsa. And the disappointment. And then 9 months of pregnancy. Another child comes out, being taken for slaughter again towards Kamsa. Think of the pain that Devaki went through this whole experience. The darkness that was there in a prison house. It's not in a comfortable home where Vasudev and is arranging for all these beautiful, happy ways of, you know, nourishing and nurturing the infant, the child within. No, it's a prison house. It's a prison cell. 6 times she held her babies, and 6 times they were taken away. And by whom? By her own cousin, by her own brother. And then, obviously, 7th child comes. We see that Balaram, Sankarsana, the whole switcheroo happens. And then Krishna appears, right? And then the 8th child appears. And even when Krishna appears, so think of Devaki's situation, that in that situation, if I were in a similar situation where I'm going through a tough time, I pray to Krishna that Krishna help me get out of this. Just get me out of this. And I would imagine that Krishna would just come, pick them up on the Garuda and then take them away somewhere. Or that Krishna would put them somewhere else. No, what does Krishna do? Krishna chooses to appear in the prison house itself. Krishna does not change their circumstance that, you know what, Devaki Vasudev, let me put you in the 4 seasons Mathura and you'll be comfortable. No, he chooses to appear in the prison house. And what happens after that, after Krishna goes to Vrindavan, they still remain there. They are still imprisoned until Krishna and Balaram become older. They come and they kill Kamsa. So 11 years more they were imprisoned. And they are God's parents. They gave, Krishna says, right, that, oh, you worship for last 3 lifetimes. So sometimes we think that, God, you should give us comfort. In my darkest hour, God, you need to give me comfort in life. I am a devotee. Why is my life a horrible mess? Well, guess what Krishna does to his closest devotees? To teach us and to teach them. Arjuna had to kill his guru and his great-grandfather. And Arjuna had to witness 5 of his children die. And he had to witness Abhimanyu being killed mercilessly by this trickery. Draupadi had to be disrobed and pray to Krishna that what's going on? The Pandavas had to witness all their trials and tribulations throughout their own experience. Prahlad had to sit in the fire thrown from the top of the mountain. Trampled under elephants. Imagine a 5-year-old boy. Just think of the imagery of a 5-year-old boy being trampled by elephants. It's hard. It's hard to imagine. Gajendra had to cry for thousands of years. So, is Krishna a cruel God? No. Krishna still comes to protect. He's still there. And he teaches us the experience that, are you learning through my rescuing of you? Are you learning the lesson that you need to learn? Are you learning the point of surrender? In the assembly of the Kurus, the gambling match is happening. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is praying in his heart, Krishna, please, I don't want to lose everything. I don't want to lose everything. Krishna, please. Krishna doesn't appear. Yudhishthir Maharaj gambles everything away. But when Draupadi is praying, when Draupadi raises her hand, one hand, Krishna doesn't appear. Help me, Govinda, Madhusudan, Dwarkanath, where are you? Doesn't appear. And then she gives up the control fully. And Krishna appears. And Dushasan faints. It is described in the Mahabharata that he faints by disrobing. It's so much. Imagine doing an exercise. You know, we're pulling the rope. He faints because he cannot do it because God has control. God has taken control. But he wants us to come to that point of surrender. Yudhishthir Maharaj was not at that point of surrender, so he had to go through the whole Mahabharata to come to the point where he could finally criticize the Kauravas. So the point being that the surrender process evokes this, the process has to evoke this natural surrender for us. So the process of dark night of the soul means that Krishna will appear at the end of it. It's not that he won't appear at the end of it. But it won't be at the expense of the lessons that we need to learn. We have to learn the lessons that need to come. So our Shastra is filled with such examples. When Parikshit is about to die in 7 days, what does it mean for us? Why do I want a shortcut in life? Why do I say that, Krishna, please just help me get out of this so that I can just enjoy, have a comfortable life, and I don't take the process of surrender seriously. The process of surrender is the way through to the other side. That's the way. The dark night of the soul should be celebrated and welcomed, just like Queen Kunti does. She welcomes the process of dark night of the soul, that, my Lord, let there be calamities. Because through that, I get to see you and I get to witness you. And that's the point of process of Janmashtami. That whatever things that I'm holding on to in this lifetime, that I'm holding on, that I'm trying, that Krishna, everything you can take away, but not this. Whatever that point of holding on that we have in our lives, he requires us to raise our right hand up, to raise our left hand up, and say that, Krishna, you decide. I surrender unto you. And until that process happens, the trials and tribulations and the rubs and the burnings will continue to, we will continue to feel. And when that happens, when God appears, then the guards naturally fall down asleep, the chains are open. And even then, it's not that a beautiful boat was arranged for Vasudev to carry the baby Krishna across. He had to go through rain. The river is flooded. And he has God in his hand. And he still had to put faith in this God, this baby God, this infant God in his arms. That how would I take you across this river? And then Anant Shesh appears and it's raining and pouring like anything. And he goes and he trusts. And it's not that now I'm free from the jail, you know, that Kamsa was such a rascal. It's too much, you know, now I'm just going to go and I'm going to have a happy life. No, go back to the jail, back to the jail and trust. So that's the process of bhakti, of coming to that point of pure surrender for us. That in those dark hours, we come to the point of pure shelter. And when that happens, God naturally comes to rescue us. There are examples of a quick few points on this. The idea of rescue, right? There's examples of a few years ago, there were some kids that were trapped in a cave in Thailand, if anyone remembers. They were exploring with their scout and 9 days in absolute darkness before anyone found them. And then they were found and one by one they had to come out from that. So the rescue mission was organized and rescue happens, right? So the process of rescue is that first they had to be found. They had to signal that, hey, we need rescue. We need to leave a message. So we need to name the situation we are in, that this is a dark situation. I acknowledge it, I see it, and I need rescue out of it. We need to understand that I need to be rescued. Until I come to the point that I'm okay, life is okay. Why will God come to rescue you when life is okay? We need to put out the flag that I need rescue. I am flying that flag. And then a rescue would look very different than what we imagine rescue would look like. When Gajendra prayed, he didn't know what Krishna's rescue would look like. When Draupadi prayed, she did not know how Krishna would rescue her. Krishna arranged the rescue. Like when Durvasa appeared and Krishna runs from Dwarka all the way to Vrindavan to protect her. When Prahlad prayed, he didn't know how the rescue would look like. When the Vrajvasis are crying that it's raining, they did not know how the rescue. So we cannot ask Krishna that, Krishna, you should rescue me and your rescue should look like this. No, it's not my prerogative, not my decision. So first, we name our darkness, that Krishna, I need to be rescued. Then we need to know that the rescue may look very different. It may seem that, is this real rescue? Devaki could think of, is this rescuing God? Is God rescuing me? All my kids are dead. The ones that I had are taken away. I'm still in jail and I'm rescued somehow. And 11 years later, God frees me. So the rescue would look very different, could look very different than what we imagine. Three, we have to surrender completely to that method of rescue. If Gajendra still held on in the water, then how would have Krishna lifted him up? We have to surrender at that point in time. And then finally, we need to know that no other ways of rescue would work in this point. God's method of rescue is the only way that would work for me. Not that I can try maybe this. Maybe when Krishna is trying to get Gajendra out, like, nah, you know what? Let me try this. Let me try to use my own tusk and my own strength. No, this is the only way that works that God has given us. So just like different people in our Shastra have been rescued in their dark times, we have faith, we have benefit that in our practical moment, just like the Guru comes and identifies that, oh, here's a cap that has fallen, and the Guru gives us a path and a process. We trust that path and process, that, yeah, this is the path, the process of chanting of the Maha Mantra, the process of reading our Shastra, this is our process. The process of understanding, sitting with our darkness, is our process of that cap finding its way back to the pen, of Arjuna recognizing that, yes, I need to listen to God and do my duty, and all of these other people that we have seen, or Saint John understanding that this circumstance for me is for my own transformation, for my own death, for me to be able to love God as He is. And that becomes our process of escaping the darkness into the light. And Krishna says that I am the light. Krishna says that He is the light. He brings the lamp of lightness, the lamp of light in our heart, right? Krishna is the light. He takes us towards the light. He is the sun. But before the sun comes in the morning, the dark night has to be gone through. And I cannot escape the dark night by turning on my artificial lights. I have to sit through the night. So my final point to you all, as this Janmashtami appears, how can I cultivate this idea of sitting through whatever darkness that is in my life, that was in my life, or that is yet to come in my life, and remember that God will be there at the end of it to rescue me, and it may not look like what I would have ever imagined. And it would require me to fully surrender, challenge my identity, challenge my beliefs, and knowing that God may still appear. Yeah, maybe after 11 years of hardship, maybe right away, in His own way, in a way that is needed for my own growth, purification. So we prepare the prison cell, Friday midnight, and we connect the cap back, and we await Krishna's arrival through our dark times. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, reflections, then I'm happy to. Yeah, could someone please pass the microphone around?
Thank you for your class. It's a very pertinent message that you have delivered. But at the beginning of the class, you mentioned 3,000 years ago.
5,000.
Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000.
5,000, my apologies.
The Dead Sea Scrolls were spoken 3,000.
Yes, thank you for the correction.
Also, one other thing is that the analogy of the pen and the cap, Prabhupada used the analogy of a machine and a screw,
right,
that becomes loosened from the machine, and it loses its value out of the machine. But as soon as you put the screw back, then it has a great amount of potency in the sense that the machine can run with the screw put in, but the whole machine can't run if there's one screw missing, probably.
Yes. Thank you for sharing, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I think Mother Vegavati had her hand up.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, so many nice points that you raised. When you were talking about Gajendra, well, and so many instances of people having to wait for Krishna's mercy, not knowing what form it will come in, but when it comes, we have to accept that form, not think of some other form. So what came to my mind is common saying, God helps those who help themselves. So, I know we're not just supposed to sit dumb and, like you even said, no, just chant your rounds, Prabhu. This is going on, that's going on. Just chant your rounds. that's not always all that we do. So could you maybe show some distinction?
Yeah, thank you for your question. Yeah, your question is that what are some other things we can do in those moments, right, when we are awaiting God's mercy? Yeah, there is a point, there's a difference in, well, like Arjuna's example, right? Arjuna said that, oh, well, I don't need to fight this war then. You know, I might just as well sit under a tree and do my own thing. Arjuna still had to do his duty in that moment. So it's important for us to know what is my dharma in that circumstance, in that time frame. So if I am a parent, and if it's something pertinent to my family, then I need to still perform the duty of being a parent. If I am in a different situation, in a different body, in a different role, then I need to understand in those moments that what can I offer. So for instance, let's say if I have a health challenge, health crisis, then it behooves me to also explore all the possible options that are available at my disposal. So all healthcare possibilities, not that Krishna will provide, Krishna will take care. Perhaps Krishna will take care through the doctor that you're about to call. But if I don't even make the call, if I don't even put my effort in those moments, when I got laid off, one way I could have been that, oh, okay, I guess this is what Krishna's plan is. You know, he doesn't want me to work. He doesn't want me to do a job. Let me just be a bum. Let me just depend on government or this or my parents. No, it also requires that. It requires time to sit with it, time to sit with the pain, the suffering, the issue, understanding what it means for me, going to my acharyas and my gurus and my mentors and my teachers and asking for guidance and advice, and also taking a break that is necessary that before I go back into workforce. So there is always practical avenues at hand. Like Vasudev's example also. Vasudev did not just accept that, oh, I guess this is Krishna's will. This voice that came from the sky, this is God speaking. So, you know what? I was never supposed to be married to Devaki. You know, I'm barely married. I'm married 30 minutes to her. And it's her brother. It's not my thing, you know? It's your family drama. You deal with it. I'm out of it. That could have been a response, right, that Vasudev would have given, that not my issue, you know? Not my service, Prabhu. Not my issue to deal with. No, he acted. He accepted the dharma of a husband that the moment I got married, the Pani Grahan Samskar was performed. I am responsible to be the protector of this woman, not her brother at this point. And Kamsa obviously was not a protector at that point in time. So he acted on the role of being a protector, despite recognizing that where is this transcendental voice sound coming from? So he acted according to the dharma that he was required to perform. And then naturally Krishna's mercy came in the form of eighth child. So it's always important, a good point to recognize and identify what is my dharma that I can do in this point in time, what is my due diligence that I can perform, and then Krishna will naturally reveal the right cause of action. Does that
Thank
help?
You. Yes.
Of course. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any final thoughts, questions from anyone? Otherwise, we can... Yes. Let me see. Oh, we are 6 p.m. So sorry. We are out of time. So it's time for prasad and time for the evening aarti. The crew is here. But if you want, we can personally engage after this. Okay. Thank you so much for your participation. Hare Krishna.